What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday. That's right, it is March 30, 2017. So honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We have a great show in store for you all, as it's going to be a loaded one, folks. A loaded one. Now, of course, we will address last night's high school McDonald's All-Star game. A fun one. A fun one. A lot of celebs in the house out in Chicago. But other than that, we will also talk about and continue our conversation, I guess you can say, on Michigan State spring football. There is a lot of dialogue that has ensued around whether or not Michigan State should even play the spring game this Saturday at 3 p.m. on national television via the Big Ten Network. We won't debate about that. I found an interesting article written by Lansing State Journal columnist Graham Couch in yesterday's paper, and he made some very interesting points. So we'll chat about that. I am very excited about our guest for today's Current Sports, though. Around the 1:30-ish mark, we will invite to the show Tommy Washington Jr., Lansing boxing great who has a very intriguing story. Tommy actually spent 3 years behind bars in prison and is now getting his life back in order, getting back into the ring, and he has a very special announcement to make on our airwaves during that chat. Tommy will join us live here in Studio S. We will also invite Austin Short to the show, one of our fantastic Current Sports production assistants who actually profiled Tommy a few weeks ago. You don't want to miss it, folks. It's going to be a fun one, a very intriguing one, and a story filled with a lot of ups and downs, a lot of ups and downs. And, of course, with it being Throwback Thursday, we will hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at what exactly occurred on this particular date in sports history. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Of course, we are not only on WKAR AM 870, but we have graced the FM frequency as well. Take a listen to Current Sports and tune into a clearer signal on FM 94.5. Also, go to Facebook.com/Current Sports, where we are currently live streaming the show. You can shoot us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or even join us via Twitter at AlMartinWKAR or at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the McDonald's High School All-Star Basketball action. It took place last night on ESPN. The best high school basketball seniors faced off yesterday in the Mickey D's All-American game. Future Missouri Tiger, Michael Porter Jr., this year's top recruit according to ESPN. He took home MVP honors last night and led the East squad to a 109-107 win over the West. Michigan State commit Jaren Jackson Jr. scored 5 points, including a ferocious putback slam. The 6'11 forward also tallied 3 boards. Other Michigan State targets at the game included 6'7 small forward Brian Bowen and 6'11 center Brandon McCoy, who had the game-saving block in the final seconds of the game. In just a moment, I am going to break down last night's Mickey D's game, and we'll talk about three prospects. One that is already signed with Michigan State, but three players who have ties to Tom Izzo's program. You don't want to miss that chat in just a moment. How about the U of M women's basketball team, huh? I think Kim Barnes-Arrico is sending a message to everybody that this is the team that deserved to be in the NCAA tourney, right? Just a few weeks after the Michigan women's basketball team experienced the heartbreak of not making the big dance, the Wolverines have a chance to win it all in the WNIT tourney. Sophomore center Haley Thome put up 22 points on 10 of 16 shooting to help propel Michigan to a 65-61 win over Villanova yesterday. Now, the only thing standing in the way of the Wolverines and the NIT title are the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Luckily for the Wolverines, the championship game will essentially be in their own backyard, as the tip is scheduled for 3 p.m. Saturday at Callahan Hall at Detroit Mercy. And what I found even more intriguing in that game is that, yeah, Kaiser Gondrzik, a player who made a strong case for Big Ten Freshman Player of the Year, she didn't even play. Didn't even play in that game. I don't even think she's played all WNIT tourney time. Interesting stuff there. All right, Michigan State University softball coach Jackie Joseph earned her 650th win yesterday with a 7-2 dub at Sekia Stadium over Western Michigan University. Trailing 1-0, entering the fourth inning, the Spartans put 4 on the board, led off by a solo homer by Sarah Gutnick. Now, this was followed by a Kelsey Carrasco homer in the fifth and an Ebony Eccles triple in the top of the seventh. The Spartans welcome Maryland to East Lansing for a 3-game series that starts on Friday. Michigan State University volleyball coach Kathy George was named to the American Volleyball Coaches Association Board of Directors. She is new awards representative, and she will serve as the chair of the Division I AVCA All-American Committee. Now, she served the last 3 years as North Region representative. At Michigan State, George has a 232-163 record in 11 years at the helm. Ingham County Circuit Court Judge Rose Marie Aquilina signed an order today that barred all current and potential witnesses and their attorneys from releasing any information not already contained in a public court file or commenting publicly on Dr. Larry Nassar's guilt or innocence in the countless sexual assault claims. How about that? Now, Judge Rose Marie Aquila said the order is an attempt to strike a balance between Nassar's right to a fair trial, the First Amendment rights of the women and girls who say Nassar assaulted them, and the public's right to access courtrooms. Interesting development there. Keeping it pushing. After a poor 2016 season and rough spring, the Detroit Tigers have released Mike Pelfrey. In 2016, Pelfrey was 4-10 with a 5.07, well, I should say 4-10 with a 5.07 earned run average and 56 strikeouts. Pelfrey's spring training wasn't much better as he went 2-3 with a 7.94 ERA in 17 innings pitched. After cutting Pelfrey and 7 others, the Tigers have 28 players remaining in Major League camp. They must be down to 25 by the start of opening day. Oh, the Detroit Pistons. Yes, the red, white, and royal blue are coming off a devastating buzzer-beating loss at the hands of the Miami Heat. We profiled that during yesterday's Current Sports. Hassan Whiteside breaking the hearts of many Pistons fans out there on Tuesday. Well, it's Thursday, and tonight the Pistons will look to snap a 5-game losing streak when the Brooklyn Nets come to town. These two played a little over a week ago, and you remember what happened. Brook Lopez hit, yeah, another game winner. A game-winning fadeaway shot to lift the Nets over the Pistons. Currently, the Pistons sit 3 games behind the 7th and 8th seeded Miami Heat and Indianapolis Pacers. Now, Reggie Jackson will likely sit out a third straight game. If the Pistons want to keep their playoff hopes alive, this is yet another critical game. Tip time set for 7:30 p.m. How about Russell Westbrook? That's right, Russell is playing like a man possessed recently, and he did not disappoint on Wednesday night in Orlando. The Oklahoma City Thunder point guard led a 21-point comeback victory over the Orlando Magic by recording a 38th triple-double of the season. Westbrook recorded a triple-double consisting of, get this, an insane 57 points, 13 boards, 11 assists. Now, his 57 points is the most ever while recording a triple-double, and he is tied for the most 50-point triple-doubles in a career with two. Admirable, right? Yeah, oh, I like that. Look at that. We never roll in bites today. Yeah, that is pretty interesting, isn't it? Shout out to Jacob Herbert, who was helping out Isaac Constance behind the glass engineering today. Can we play that one more time? That was pretty good. One more time. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Isn't it, Russ? Yeah. 57 points, the most ever while recording a triple-double, and he is tied for the most 50-point triple-doubles in a career with two. The others include MVP candidate James Harden and legends Elgin Baylor and Wilt Chamberlain. More on the accomplishment of Russ in just a moment. And last, but thank goodness least, with six games remaining in the first season that will officially see the Wings miss the postseason since the first postseason absence since 1990. The team is in Tampa Bay tonight for a divisional matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Last time these two teams met, the Bolts snuck away with a 2-1 OT dub in the D on March 2-4. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports and join us via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR and at WKAR underscore sports. So much to get to. Let's start the show.
Magnificent game. He's out front with Nick Gallo.
Russ, you get the MVP chance on the road, 57-point triple-double. How did this feel for you as you led this team to this amazing comeback?
It was great, man. Like I said, it's always great to win on the road. No thanks but to the man above, man. So thankful for the play, the game I love, and just happy we got the win.
This was the biggest comeback in Oklahoma City franchise history. What did it take, particularly on the defensive end, for you all to do this down the stretch?
Grit, man. We needed everything, man. We got some shots we needed, two shots on the mass. Made some big shots down the stretch. A huge win for us.
Russ, you guys clinched the playoffs tonight. What's the mentality that you all need to have heading into this final stretch before it all happens?
Constantly keep getting better. Take one game at a time. You know, we started off a little sluggish tonight, and, you know, that's a good team, especially at home. And we thought we did a good job of making steps forward and getting another win.
Congratulations, Russ.
Thanks, Gallo.
How good is Russell Westbrook? 21 of 40 from the floor, 6 of 15 from the three-point line, 57 points, 11 assists, and 13 rebounds. Just let that sit in real quick. That's crazy, right? And you know, this is such a fun MVP race. One of the most intriguing MVP races in NBA history. In a normal year, Russell Westbrook will clearly be the MVP, right? I mean, we're going to see, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, folks. We are going to see Russell Westbrook become the first player since the Big O and Oscar Robertson back in the 60s. First player since the Big O to average triple-double. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. And again, like I said, in a normal year, Russell Westbrook would clearly take home the hardware. Well, this isn't a normal year, though. There are a lot of cases that can be made for other players like James Harden, who has been absolutely stellar this year as well. How about Kawhi Leonard, who's been great Love Kawhi Leonard. Big fan of his. He's just a quiet superstar, isn't he? Just goes out there and just balls. Doesn't want the attention. Very soft-spoken. But he is lethal when he gets on the hardwood. Heck, you could even make a case for LeBron James. For sure. Look at his numbers. 16 points per 100 possessions. That's called efficiency, folks. When he's off the court, that team falls apart. A lot of cases can be made for a lot of players here. And I have to agree with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant made a statement on ESPN not too long ago, talking with Jalen Rose. I believe Sage Steele was a part of that panel as well. Well, she was moderating the discussion with Jalen and Kobe. But the conversation of MVP this year, and Kobe made a statement, and he said that this may be the first year that we see the MVP handed out to two players. First time we may see co-MVPs. And I can't knock him for that opinion. It is so tough. I get a headache when thinking about this whole race between those players. I think it's a two-man horse race at this point. It's between Harden and Westbrook, and a strong, strong case can be made for both. I think that Russ has done more with less. I do think Harden has a little bit more help out there, out in Houston. But still, Harden, if you take him away from that equation, Mike D'Antoni's system crumbles. I'll elaborate more on the MVP race later on this hour. Also, a big event that took place last night. I highlighted that briefly in our quick hit headliners, but the McDonald's High School All-American game, always fun to watch that game, took place out in Chicago, the United Center. Saw a lot of folks in the stands, which included NBA players like Dwayne Wade, Richard Jefferson also sat in on the broadcast and gave his thoughts on the young pups. He talked about his elongated NBA career, right? That game has particular intrigue to a lot of Michigan State basketball fans out there because there were three names in particular that a lot of Spartan fans, including myself, honed in on. Highlighted those three names very briefly during our headliner segment. Brian Bowen, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Brandon McCoy. Those are the three names that I, along with many in Spartan Nation, had an eye on last night. Jaren Jackson Jr., he's already committed. But Brian Bowen, I find Brian Bowen's decision very, very fascinating on a few levels here. Right now, Brian Bowen is the number 15 prospect in the country. He didn't light it up in the stat column, in the stat sheet last night. 1 for 6 3-point shots last night, but again, it's an all-star game, right? Not a lot of defense being played in a high school all-star game, right? Heck, I mean, not a lot of defense being played in any all-star game, no matter what level of basketball you're talking about, right? But Brian Bowen has narrowed it down to five teams, which include Michigan State University, right? The Spartans were his favorite team growing up. And guess who his cousin is, folks? The cousin of Brian Bowen is the high flyer himself, one of the greatest dunkers of all time, Jason Richardson. Jay Rich, that's Brian's cousin. Richardson, of course, balled out at Michigan State University. The other schools, when it comes to Brian's list, include Arizona, Sean Miller. Done a great job with that program, making solid runs in the tourney on a consistent basis. Sean Miller has proven that he can take players to the NBA, even though I kind of chastised Sean Miller when they got eliminated in the NCAA tournament because the expectations were so high this year. But that's beside the point. Arizona's on the list. Creighton, which actually signed Bowen's teammate, Jacob Epperson. Wonder if that factors at all into him possibly leaning toward Creighton. Texas is on that list, and North Carolina State, along with Michigan State. And Bowen made a comment and said that he used the NCAA tourney as one of the criterias that will weigh his decision on where he will be taking his basketball talents. Well, if that makes Michigan State fans nervous out there, none of those teams advanced past the Sweet 16. And heck, North Carolina State and Texas didn't even make the big dance, all right? So you can You can take a sigh of relief there. As a senior at La Lumiere High School out in Indiana, did a great job his senior year. 20.4 points, 7 rebounds a game. Started his career at Saginaw Arthur Hill before transferring after his sophomore campaign in 2015. Coach Izzo knows the family quite well. Again, direct ties to Jason Richardson, a former Michigan State hoop great. Izzo knows the family quite well, has a pretty close relationship with Bowen. Michigan State has been recruiting Bowen the longest. Bowen said this when talking about Coach Izzo. Quote, Coach Izzo is a great guy. And you know his pitch is, come in and be the man. Do a little bit of everything. Whether or not Miles Bridges stays or not, it really won't affect me at all. It will just make the team even better, end quote. Now, I don't know how much I believe that statement when it comes to Miles Bridges. If Miles Bridges returns, he is going to be the guy. I don't care what freshman comes in, right? And I do believe, if I had to play the guessing game here, I do believe that Bridges is going to chuck up the deuces and take his talents to the National Basketball Association. But Spartan fans, don't panic, because this team is going to be great regardless of what Bowen decides to do, regardless of what Miles Bridges decides to do. I mean, when you talk about incoming talent like Xavier Tillman and, oh yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr., Bowen's teammate at La Lumiere, 5-star prospect, number 21 in the country, didn't light up the stat sheet either last night. But again, it's an all-star game, folks. 5 points and 3 boards for Jaren Jackson Jr. And Jaren Jackson Jr. has good genes, folks. His father, Jaren Jackson Sr., if you guys remember that name, he was a shooting guard who played 12 seasons in the NBA, winning a championship in 1999 with the San Antonio Spurs, Tim Duncan, the Admiral, David Robinson. You guys remember that team? I remember that team very vividly. Actually, Tim Duncan was on the cover of NBA Live 2000, the year after they won that championship. Timmy was a young pup, up-and-coming player on the scene, and had just won an NBA championship. That was a fun team. Yeah, that encompassed Jaren Jackson Sr., Jaren Jackson Jr.'s father. Pretty cool stuff. And I love also the story that was recounted in the Detroit Free Press. Jaren Jackson Jr. actually taking a trip to the Ronald McDonald House. He really cares about the community as well. This is a bright young man. Bright young man. I actually took a trip to the Ronald McDonald House my junior year here at Michigan State University, and we did a charity endeavor, as I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated at Michigan State University. That was certainly a it's one of those things. When you go to the Ronald McDonald House, you know, you kind of look at life a bit differently, and you really appreciate life a bit more when you see people who don't have what you have. Jaren, a great kid who's going to do great things once he comes on this campus. And the other name, Brandon McCoy. Oh, Brandon McCoy is good. If Michigan State can snag Brandon McCoy, boy, oh boy, throw a party. Brandon McCoy had 13.7 boards, 4 blocks. He was 3 of 12 from the floor. So then I started looking at that last stat line and saying, oh, he's 3 of 12 from the floor. Then where did those 13 come from? Well, most of them came from the free throw line. He's a very aggressive player. He went 7 of 8 from the charity stripe. He's from K-Town. Anybody who knows K-Town knows about K-Town. K-Town on Chicago's west side is one of the most dangerous areas in that city. So what did his mom decide to do? His mom, who also was a member of the military, when Brandon, right before he decided to make his high school decision, his mom said, uh-uh, you are not going to Chicago high schools. I am sending you to San Diego. That's right. Brandon went to Cathedral High School out in San Diego, California. He was actually a roommate throughout this week, a roommate of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s, who you better believe was in the ear of McCoy saying, hey, man, if you dine the green and white, this is what can happen if you come here. So we'll see if that has any bearing into McCoy's decision. McCoy is a 5-star prospect by 247 Sports Composite, considered the number 11 overall player and number 4 power forward in the country for the 2017 class. At Cathedral High School, he balled out in San Diego. He averaged almost 30 points a game, folks. I kid you not. 28.6 to be exact, 12.6 boards, 5.3 blocks per game during his senior year. And he will be choosing between Michigan State and, yeah, Arizona again in the fight. Oregon, UNLV, and San Diego State. Wow. But I want to ease the nerves before we hit our first break here and get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I want to ease the nerves of Michigan State men's basketball fans out there who are, of course, crossing their fingers, hoping that McCoy and Bowen decide to come to Michigan State. But regardless of what those two young studs do, this team is going to be good regardless of what Bowen decides to do, regardless of what McCoy decides to do, regardless of what Bridges decides to do. This team, just look at it next year. You get the sophomore maturity of Cassius Winston, Josh Langford, and Nick Ward. Combine that with a, and I assume Gavin Schilling is going to get the okay to come back next year, but just imagine that. You get Gavin Schilling coming back next year to add more size to that front court. Just imagine Gavin Schilling and Nick Ward playing alongside each other. And then, oh yeah, Xavier Tillman, add him to that equation. And then, oh yeah, how about we sprinkle in a little Jaren Jackson Jr.? This team already is going to be pretty good. And if they get the likes of McCoy, Bowen, and let's just say, for the heck of things, Bridges decides to come back, Michigan State is going to be one of the favorites to go all the way next year. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We are going to begin our interview a bit early on today's Current Sports. We're going to hit our first break. When we come back, I look forward to picking the brain of Mr. Tommy Washington Jr., Lansing boxing great, who has had some ups and downs in his life. Back on track now. We will talk about the life of Washington Jr. and his future endeavors. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. We actually have two additional voices that will now join me here live in Studio S. First, I want to start by bringing in Austin Short, who has been doing a great job along with our other Current Sports PAs and beat reporters. Austin, you are a big fight fan.
No doubt about it.
We've had conversations about that. And coming in this semester, that's what you wanted your beat to be. And I found your latest story to be so intriguing on so many levels because he has such a great story. Tommy Washington Jr., you have a piece that's live right now via WKAR.org centered on his life. I just briefly want you to tell our listeners about that story. Not too many specifics because we have him right now live here in Studio West. We're going to get into his story in just a bit. But what was it like talking with Tommy?
It was really just a treat because I was, you know, I hadn't known that much about him. I had heard that he was fighting at the Ron DeLeon promotions, the last fight he put on. And, you know, I was interested in talking to him and seeing him fight. Unfortunately, that got scrapped. So then after that, I was looking up, you know, what he was doing, and I had heard about his work with the Lansing Spartan Youth Organization, which is helping out the youth and training them in boxing and just overall just giving them, like, a bond with fitness, you know, trying to keep the kids out of the streets and keep them healthy.
Well, we have him right next to you. To your left, my right. Tommy Washington Jr., Lansing Boxing. Great. First off, Tommy, thank you so much for taking some time out your week here on this Thursday afternoon to join us here in Studio S. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Tommy, I want to start very elementary here and then kind of work our way through your story. Your love of boxing began with, I should say, ideally the same way that a lot of young men's interest peaks in the world of sports. I mean, my dad introduced me to the world of sports, and your dad did the same, right? Your love of boxing began with your father. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, at a very young age, you know, my father used to fight himself, you know, professionally, and he basically had me in the gym with him all the time, whether he was running or whatever. I'm soaking up everything at a young age, so I just, it was like my first love, you know, so I just picked up everything.
What were some of your earliest memories of your pops? Because he won the Michigan Gold Gloves, I understand, back in 1981. Do you remember watching him when during your young years? And what really stood out to you about your dad when it comes to the sport of boxing?
Man, I can remember him, like, using me as weight. You know what I mean? Like, he jogging the river, you know, the river walk, and having me on his neck. I remember memories like that, just like, you know, it's like clear to me that, you know, you should use me as like a workout tool, man. You know what I mean?
So right, right.
I can remember stuff like that, man, just being around the gym.
When did he start to teach you about the sport? And was he gung-ho about teaching you the sport off bat as such a young age?
Well, no, you know, he always was showing me bits and pieces. You know, he didn't put too much on me, but it was like fifth grade. He took me to the boxing gym, like, soon as school let out. Like, for the summer, he took me to the boxing gym. And from there, it was just up and running, man, you know.
Why did you take to the sport? What about boxing really intrigued you and made you want to pursue it?
I say it was more like channeling the energy in me to something positive, because I always kind of not say had a temper. But, you know, you could be overactive. You got a gear, you know, shifted towards something. So, you know, they put me in the ring with it, and it worked out, man.
Were you one of those kids that used to get in a fight at school at all?
Yeah,
you
were? Yeah, that was just, yeah, oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you give me an example of that?
Man, it was just like, I can remember, like, earliest first or second grade, just fighting, and the teacher like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, you know, so it was good that he put me in that to get the discipline to, you know when to, you know, right, defend yourself, man.
Now,
you
know, were you the one starting the fights, or were you just kind of protecting yourself from bullies?
Probably both.
A mix of both,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably both.
At 9 years old, Tommy, you won a junior Olympic tournament. Is that the moment when you started to figure out or when it hit you that you were pretty good at this boxing thing?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was very easy. I'm not going to say easy, but it was like, it felt like I was doing what I was supposed to do at that age. Like, I knew what I wanted to do. You know what I mean? It was
right.
Like, it hit me. Because, you know, I gave that first medal to my mother. You know, she still got it to this day. But it was like, that's a pretty big tournament for youth. So to win that, it was like, you know what I mean? It was like, man, I couldn't believe it, but then I embraced it in the same breath. You know, like, this is what I want to do, man.
What was the reaction from your pops? Was he happy, man, that you were following in his footsteps?
Oh yeah. He's like my number one fan and motivator and everything else, man. It's like, not to say he lived through me, but he's on me. Like, come on, man, let's, you know, it's almost like he about to fight, man. I gotta calm him down, and I'm the one getting in the ring, you know.
Right, exactly. Now, is he your current trainer right now?
Yes.
He's always been your trainer, then.
Yeah, always. Yeah, him and Reggie Askew.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Tommy, you captured 5 amateur national titles. At 15, you were invited to a very big event at Northern Michigan University.
Yeah.
Talk about that. What was that event?
It was the Junior Olympic Invitational. They send you an invite to come up there to the campus.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a camp where you was there for, I think it was like 6 weeks. I don't remember, but I know we was there for amount of time, and you got people from all over New York. It was even people from Canada, England, all that. We all working out together. It was like everybody that was the top of their weight class.
Right.
They was there. They was invited to work out and compete. It was kind of like international competition. You know, I was there with like Adrian Broner.
Broner was there.
Things like that. Yeah, Andre Durrell.
Wow.
Like people that was just like, you know, regular that got a name now. You know what I'm saying? We was all in the same camp.
What was it like seeing Adrian Broner and Durrell?
I mean, at the time, we was just all regular kids. You know, it was just, you know what I mean? Like, we all know we had a special gift, but it was just like, what's up? How you doing? You know, just kicking and chilling, man. You know, it wasn't really, you know, the AB that you might see now or this or that. You know, that's what it grew into, but it was just regular kids having fun, man.
Comparing your skill to theirs at the time, Tommy, you felt like you could run with them, right, at the time?
Yeah,
I mean, you were invited to.
still in me that can bring out, you know, that type of elite competition, man.
Before we get to your future fights in the world of boxing, I want to fast forward now to age 16.
Okay.
Because that's when a bit of the trouble with the law started,
yeah.
Right? Armed robbery and larceny, 6 months on a tether.
Right.
What started to happen in your life around that time, the atmosphere around you? What started to really change around you that kind of led to that trouble?
Well, it was the crazy part about it. It was right after that invitational that was up north at Northern University. You know, I came back. I remember coming back, you know, just proud of myself for what I did. And it was kind of like my dad was like, you know, man, you deserve a little time off. I think that was the biggest mistake ever. Not him saying the time off, but just not being active with what I was doing because it keep you busy. You know what I mean? So
right.
It gave me time to wander. And next thing you know, I'm in the midst of just your environment, man. You know, when I was doing that, I was out of my environment. I'm going to Cali. I'm going to Kansas. I'm traveling. There's no time for no, you know, frivolous activities, man. So
what kind of activities? Who'd you start hanging out with and what exactly started to happen?
People that you think is that's your friends, you know what I mean? You, mm-hmm. you hanging around the wrong crowd, man, you know what I mean? And it's not necessarily the wrong crowd, it's just people in your neighborhood, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm. For you, Tommy, I know you were expecting a daughter around that time,
right.
And you had dropped out of high school.
Yes,
you went
sir.
To Lansing Section, right?
Yes, sir.
How tough was it trying to find your way and knowing in the back of your head that, man, you got a baby on the way and trying to provide for that baby that was on the way? I mean, where was your headspace at that time, Tommy?
I mean, it was all a struggle, man, because, you know, you want to do the best in everything. You want to provide her with the best. But in the same breath, you still a child yourself. So you trying to figure everything out. So it was like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. And it was like, kind of like by any means necessary to make sure she has anything that she needs. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I brought her into this world. You know what I mean? So it was like, mm-hmm. I got to provide. So that was my mindset, man. So it was like, you know, amateur boxing kind of was on the back burner because it wasn't paying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't, you know, I needed.
Not lucrative, right?
No, it wasn't. You know what I mean? So it was like things that happened, you know?
So knowing that you have a baby on the way and knowing that you have to somehow, some way get money, you drop out of high school. Where did you start to work?
Where
did you try to work?
Well, I tried to get, like, you know, like factory jobs, things like that, you know, and then, you know, with that type of stuff, they'll use you until they don't need you no more. So it was like hit and miss. You might be working and you thinking something working for you and it's not, you know what I mean? Next thing you know, oh, we don't need you. We'll get you a call if we need you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that don't pay no bills.
So after that happened, what was plan B for you?
I mean, it was really just freestyle and anything. You know, I used to go to the auctions with my uncle and buy used cars from, like, the Volunteers of America, resale. You know, it was like, it was different avenues. It wasn't just one thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Folks, if just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with local boxing greats, Tommy Washington Jr., his trials and tribulations throughout this thing we call life. And, again, now he has some great things coming up that we want to get to in just a moment. I want to get to when you got involved with drugs, Tommy.
Okay.
I know that there was a time, a summer day in 2010, where the police actually raided your apartment, and that was the moment for you. But prior to that, when did you get involved with the drug dealing game?
I mean, I had an injury that occurred. A lot of people don't know that I had an injury that occurred to my shoulder where I messed up my rotator cuff. So I was kind of out on injury.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm expecting my second child. My second child.
So your first child was already born
at
that point?
Yeah, at that time, yeah, you know. And it was a lot of things going on. So really, I was planning on relocating, and things really ain't work out like that. So I called myself, you know, doing what I was doing, which was illegal, you know, selling drugs and things like that to compensate, you know, trying to make things work. But, you know, end up backfiring. But it was also a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was also
It definitely was.
Yeah.
Take us to that day. Summer of 2010. It's a late evening day. I imagine you're at home.
Right.
What happened?
I mean, you know, the local, whatever, police or they special task force, you know, raided my home, you know, off of tips of drug dealing and things like that. And from there, it was just a roller coaster ride, you know.
When they come through the door, Tommy, what was your first thought?
Man, who is this? I mean, it was just so quick, you know, it ain't like they letting you know they coming. So it was a surprise, man, you know, it was a hell of a surprise.
Let's hit our second break here. When we come back, we will continue to talk about the story of Tommy Washington Jr., his time spending nearly 3 years in prison and getting out of prison and trying to get his life back on track. Don't miss that, folks. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, and right here live in Studio S, we are chatting with local Lansing boxing great Tommy Washington Jr. We have started by addressing his interest in the sport. We ended prior to that last break there talking about when his apartment was raided back in 2010. A moment that led to a nearly three-year stint in prison. Now, Tommy, I believe that was a cocaine and gun charge?
Yeah, it was a possession of cocaine and a felony firearm.
So you go to prison. First off, where were you put? What correctional institution were you put at?
I was in St. Louis for majority of my stay, St. Louis, Michigan.
Okay, you were in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's like called Central Michigan Correctional Facility or something like that.
Tommy, what was prison like?
Man, hell. I mean, to sum it up, it was like, you know, I felt out of place, but then in the same breath, you know, it was like I had to get my mental together about what I was going to do with the rest of my life, because that place can be a revolving door. Mm-hmm. You know, it's people that have been in there several times, and that was my first time coming in. So it was all about just getting myself together to figure out what I'm going to do once I'm released, you know?
Tommy, take us inside, because, you know, I actually, and it's a documentary that affected me unlike any documentary I've seen. I don't know if you know about the Kalief Browder story. It's been airing on Spike TV, and I watched part five last night. But I want to go to a particular part of that documentary that talked about Kalief's time in prison and the cliques and the gangs and just trying to survive. He spent over 400 days in solitary confinement and absolutely went insane.
Wow.
Take us inside. What was that like for you, and how nasty of a place is it? How did you try to just survive day to day?
Well, when I was at Central Michigan in St. Louis, it was one of the most violent prisons in Michigan at that time, where it was violence everywhere you went. It was stabbings. I mean, it was things that went on that wasn't addressed, like, on TV. You're not getting no news flash, breaking news, or things like that. So it was pretty much like open season for violence. So it was really, like, every man for themselves. You know, of course, it's cliques and gangs and stuff like that. You know, never been involved with nothing like that. But it was just about making sure you was all right, man. You know what I mean? Making sure you was straight, you know, which involved, like, I didn't really play basketball with people, that star stuff. You know, it was just little things you had to do to make sure you wasn't in the midst of, you know, something that could turn ugly real quick. You know, card games, things like that, you know. It get real serious, like, for a little bit of nothing, man. Really, you know, it really didn't take much.
Did you have inmates try and push your buttons and get underneath your skin at all?
Yeah, of course. You know, everybody in there get tried. You know, I had a few tried, but... You know, it was like, you know, once I took care of my business, it wasn't, you know, word spread. You know, he really stayed to himself, but don't bother him. You know what I mean? So, really ain't had that problem but one time.
Did they know who you were? I mean, you're a boxer, for goodness sake. I mean, there aren't too many guys picking on a boxer in here.
I mean, once I put my demonstration down from where somebody was, you know, it was kind of spread. It like, man, you know, he a real humble, cool guy, but don't mess with him. You know what I mean? Things like that. So that kind of follow you.
I'm curious, what happened in that initial incident?
I mean, you know, it was, you know, like the phone. The phone is something very important in there, and it was kind of an issue over the phone. And you know what I mean? It's a hot summer day. It don't really take too much in there to, you know, get you to that level because you already, you know, you're incarcerated, man. You're away from your people, so, you know, it don't really take too much.
Was there a moment while you were in prison, Tommy, where you said, man, once I get out of here, I got to make sure that I don't end up back here? Was there a moment where it really hit you, the reality of the situation, the magnitude of the situation? And when did you start to plan what you were going to do once you got out?
Man, it was like, and it might sound kind of crazy, it was like my first year. Like, after the first year it sunk in, like, dang, I got 2 more years to go. I'm like, I'm really here. Ain't no going home tomorrow or nothing like that. Like, you in here, man. You know, so it was reality kind of set in, and I started planning, you know, what I'm going to do, man. And I figured, you know, my boxing been my life forever, man. I used that as my, you know, tool for everything else. So while I was in there, I used that time to condition myself to go ahead and get out and compete, man.
Your kids, you have a, are they 2 sons or you have a son and a daughter?
I got 2 sons and a daughter.
2 sons and a daughter.
Yes.
What was that time like for your family, in particular the kids?
Man, it's heartbreaking. It could either, it's sad, man, because, you know, that time away from them, you know, affects them more than anything. You know, you know they going through everyday life without you, you know. Like, me and my daughter was so close, you know. I mean, that's my firstborn. You know, it kind of, not say separated us, but it put a little something on it where she was going through those teenage years right there, and I wasn't there for certain things. So, you know, it's, man, you know. Yeah.
April of 2014 is when you were released and you got out of prison, right?
Yeah, April 15th.
April 15th of 2014.
Yeah, it was the best day of my life, man.
You get out. What was that transition like, trying to assimilate back into regular society?
Man, what I did was, like, I put too much on myself all at once. I had got a job. I'm trying to work out. I'm trying to, you know, do everything all at once, and it kind of just sucked me in probably like a month or two into, I'm working like 12-hour shifts.
And where were you working at?
At the time, Bridgewater.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at Bridgewater doing the stuff with the interior, and I'm working shifts, third shift at that. So I'm all night. In the morning, I got to go to the gym. So it was like I'm trying to do all of that. I just crashed, man.
You crashed?
Yeah, I crashed, man.
So, and this is shortly after you get out of prison. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to do too much. So your body lets you know that, hey, you got to slow this down
crashed,
a bit.
Man. Yeah.
How did you balance that? I mean, what did you, because in order to try and balance working and hitting the gym, and then you have kids and all that kind of stuff, and your body needs sleep and rest. Something has to give there. I mean, did you take less time working and dedicate more time boxing, less time boxing and in the gym, and more time dedicated to your family and work? What did you do?
Well, at the time, I kind of quit both. It just sat back to evaluate what do I really want to put my time into, because, you know, I can get these people 60 hours a week and not follow my dream, or I could follow my dream and put all that time into my dream, making a reality. So I had to really sit back and battle with the two, because, you know, one is a guaranteed check, you know, you get paid every week, and the other one is what you chasing. You know, it ain't no guarantees, and it's, you know, some people is scared to chase stuff that, you know, it's not paying right then and there. You know, you following something that's, in all reality, it's a dream until you make it a reality, you know?
So, just a dollar and a dream, right? Yeah. It's not all going to be rainbows, dude. You got to go through if you want that breakthrough.
Yeah, you got to.
I'm sure you leaned on a lot. Your dad, Tommy Washington Sr.
Oh, yeah.
What did your dad tell you during that time?
you know, he just told me to take my time. You know, he always say, you still a young man. Take your time and figure out everything you want to do. And, you know, make your next move your best move, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Put everything together, mm-hmm. you know, and don't try to put too much on your plate, you know. Have a plan with everything you want to do, man, you know.
For sure.
So I really lean towards him a lot to this day, you know. You know, he helped me out a lot, man. He got a lot of wisdom because he done been there, you know. He done been through the Army. He done been through everything, you know. So he'd be telling me, like, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, man.
I know you all reached out to a contact out in California for that first fight.
Yeah.
And you actually won that first fight, too, right?
Right.
And who was that contact, and what was that first fight like for you?
It was Whit Hayden. He a good matchmaker out there. He's under Golden Boy Promotions. Well, he actually deals with a lot of different promotions, but he's a big guy on the West Coast. It was on the HBO undercard, man, and that's when... I'm not going to say the confidence came back, but that's when everything just kind of tied into it. Like, just keep working hard. It's going to pay off.
Because
I was working. I was working hard. They called. I'm like, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go take care of this and did what I had to do, man.
Since that win on HBO, how many fights have you had since? And what where's your record stand right now, Tommy?
Well, since that fight I had, I had about five fights since then, and we about, like, split. We half and half on it. So, you know, I won a couple and I lost a couple. So
7-10 right now, right?
Yes, sir.
You have a fight coming up now?
Pretty soon. May 6th, we trying to lock in a date.
We're trying
to actually lock in the venue, all the contracts and everything else signed.
Okay.
For the venue or where we going to throw it at.
Okay.
And that's going to be here in Lansing, so.
And I want to get to that in just a moment. Okay. But really briefly here, Tommy, for anybody listening to your story right now via WKAR AM 870 or 94.5 FM, especially young kids out there, when you tell them this story, when they hear your story, what do you want them to learn from it?
Man, I want them to learn that, like, the stuff people telling you, they telling you because they love you. They're not just telling you for no reason, you know. It was a lot of stuff told to me I didn't take heed to. I had to find out the hard way, you know. Find something that you like and stick to it, whether it's basketball or drawing. It don't even have to be a sport. It's just anything positive, stick to it, because anything that glitter is not gold. It's not. I could tell you that personally. It's not, you know. Might be short-lived where you thinking it's successful, but it's not, man. You taking away all that cause heartache and everything from my family, and, you know, it's not worth it, man.
Austin highlighted your work when it comes to giving back to the community and the youth. Do you see from time to time yourself in some of the kids you work with?
Oh, yeah.
You do all the time. Yeah. How do you react to that?
It's crazy because I'll be wondering sometime where all my years done went. Like, because it'd be like, man, I was just there at that point. Like, I got an amateur fighter that I'm training personally.
Right.
His name Michael Mayberry, man. And his work ethic remind me of myself. Like, when I was his age, man, he's just grinding, man. He wanted, man. He hungry, man. And I see that in him. So, and that's the first fighter that I ever trained, you know what I mean? He coming along pretty good.
Helping fighters like himself, that's pretty important to you at this point in your life now, right?
Why
is that?
Because, you know, after boxing, that's what I want to do. I want to have, you know, a big amateur team and take them across the country, show them the world, man, you know?
Love that.
Yeah.
I tell you what, this is turning into quite the story, Tommy. Austin, if you want to chime in here and kind of elaborate on, this May 6th possible fight. I know that there is a pretty big name that may be coming through.
Yeah, I saw via your Facebook that the May 6th event could possibly have a special guest, and he holds a special place in my heart because I got the Flock Belly album in 2011. So why don't you tell the people who could possibly be there?
I mean, it's a possibility. It's a couple possibilities. A couple different celebrities might be there. But a good friend of mine, Greg Mock, Mm-hmm. You know, he's a very successful businessman. He actually is going into the promotion business for the boxing. So, you know, he's very well connected. And he introduced me to a friend of his, which is Waka Flocka. You know what I mean? And it was real nice meeting him, you know, things like that. And he pretty much was, you know, he interested in the fight game itself. So, you know, it's a strong possibility he might come check out the fight in May, you know, so.
And for some of our seasoned listeners out there who don't know who the heck we're talking about, Waka Flocka is a pretty big hip-hop artist in the world of the hip-hop community. Yeah. I know our average listenership is pretty up there, Austin, so I had to clarify that.
Right.
I saw on, as you just stated, Austin, I saw on your profile pic on Facebook, right. You know, Waka's talking on it, and it's you next to Waka.
Right.
What was it like meeting him for the first time?
Man, what kind
of person is he?
He real humble, man. It's just like, hey, what's up, man? You know, he was eating the fresh fish, you know, the cracked chicken.
Yo, that's my plate.
Yeah,
I was there the other day,
oh,
brother.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
He just real laid back, man. It was just like, you know, and that's the type of people that you, like, look up to because, you know, he in a great position, man. You
right.
know, and it's just like, you know, you remain down to earth, man. And it was real nice meeting him, man. It was real, real cool, man, you know.
So it's not set in stone just yet, right? You guys are trying to finish up
everything together,
okay.
But you know, definitely if not that one in the future, he's gonna be there. But
okay,
either way you look at it, you know, it's gonna be star-studded events. That's what we bring him back here to Lansing.
Even if Waka doesn't come on May 6th, that event is still taking place. Is that set in stone?
Yeah, that's set in stone.
That's
but
set
the
in stone.
Actual venue, we're trying to figure out that as we speak. Everything is looking real good. So,
and you will be fighting in that
sir.
Event.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that
sir.
Is great
yes,
stuff, sir. Tommy. Do you know who you're going to be fighting?
Not yet. We got to get with the matchmakers and you know everything. It's a process, but you know Counterpunch Promotions, man. Greg Mock, he bringing good things to the community, man.
Tommy Washington Jr., it has absolutely been a pleasure having you on Current Sports. We got to have you back. Would you come back?
Oh, yeah. Anytime, man. Anytime. Just let me know.
Thank you so much, Austin Short. Thank you so much, brother. Again, you can catch Austin's story on Tommy, a visual of that story, WKAR.org. We'll be back at it same time, same place on tomorrow's Current Sports. We wrap up the week with a Friday edition. I've been Al Martin, folks. Take care and be easy, people.